I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Let us offer here with Jesus and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness where He is, there is no loss. Though today we sorrow,
that stanza two of the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. It speaks there about patience, bearing our cross, the entire stanza really, a call to patience in the midst of suffering. Well, we are an impatient people, aren't we? We find patience very hard to come by. We want what we want, and we want it now. And I think our technology has made us less patient. The pace of our society has made us less patient. And in the midst of not only a shutdown, but an extreme slowdown of all those things that we thought should move at that breakneck pace 24/7, we are maybe again learning patience. Joining us to talk about the word patience in our series, The Words of Scripture, Pastor Will Whedon. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the daily 15-minute Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
Talk about this virtue that is patience, and we want to talk about it in terms of part of the fruit of the Spirit, especially during these times when our patience is being tried at a pretty grand scale.
Yeah, you know, obviously, if people haven't put that together, the words of Scripture that we've been looking at in this series are derived from Galatians 5, originally Paul's fruit basket of the Spirit there. And we have love, we've looked at joy, we've looked at peace, we've looked at, and now patience. And when you think about the trial of patience in which we all are in right now, I almost feel like I know you've been there. You're in the hospital and you're waiting. That waiting room, right? I feel like we're in a waiting room. And you know how time can sometimes just drag forever in there. You know, it's like 10 minutes. It's really only been 10 minutes. My goodness. We have that sense about us now that we're just kind of waiting. Well, when you wait, then there's two ways that you can wait. You can wait with fretting, which is constantly looking at the clock and saying, is it over yet? Is it over yet? Is it over yet? Or we wait with this sort of expectant, hey, it's not my job to decide when this is up. It'll be up when it's up. That's God's decision and His rule. And I confess He's the one who is actually the King of the universe and in charge. And with that kind of an attitude, I think we get at the biblical notion of what patience is mostly all about, especially in the New Testament. We're going to hear there's a bit of a different nuance as we work through some of the Old Testament ideas.
I'd also like you to address the idea that's a little more particular to perhaps our situation as sacramental Christians, and that would include the vast majority of Christians in the world who are trying to be patient with respect to receiving the Lord's Supper. Many of us are not at this time.
Yeah, I mean, we're in what we might call an involuntary sacramental fast. And for almost all of us, this is simply something that's it's beyond the pale of anything we've ever experienced before, ever even imagined could be, right? We simply took it for granted that we would be able to gather with believers in Christ and receive all of the gifts which Christ has for us and which he established for his church in the sacraments. And man, when we're set away from the Eucharist, we're not able to gather together around that altar. It really does require patience on our part. And it's a good time for us as Christians to especially remember this, that the sacrament itself is constituted by the Word of God. And while we do not have access to gathering together and receiving, or at least many of us don't, receiving Christ's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, still the Word of God is richly available to us. And as we wait, the very best thing we can do is to continue to feed our souls with that word. And that actually gives us a great deal of patience in the waiting. We learn that patience itself is something that characterizes God. It's a fruit of the Spirit because it's not something you have to come up with on your own. It's something that's inside of God, which the Spirit himself imparts to us as a gift. And when we realize that, I think it takes a huge burden off. It's not like I have to rustle up some patience to deal with the lack of the sacrament of the altar. It's instead, wait a minute, I have to be still and remember who is God, and I need to rest in him. And when I rest in him, his own patience, which is absolutely remarkable, fills me as a gift from him.
Talk about the terms, phrases that are used in the Old and the New Testament in the original languages to express patience.
So when we look at, I'm going to start with the New Testament because that's where we're sort of taking our cue from here. The hupmone is the Greek word that's translated patience. But you know, the difficulty of pulling it into English, sometimes it winds up as steadfastness, sometimes it winds up as endurance. And it has all of those connotations in the Greek. And the word patience should have in our ears that same sort of connotation. Another word, the macrothumia, which is very, I think, long-suffering is how the King James often rendered that one. And there is one more Greek word that's used very rarely in the New Testament. But if you ask, what's at its heart? What do we mean when we confess that God himself is patient? I think we need to go to the Old Testament, to God's revelation of himself. And here, when Moses is at Sinai, in the renewal of the covenant after the golden calf debacle, you remember the Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood with Moses there, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Exodus 34, verses 5 and following. Now, patience is not used there. In fact, the term doesn't actually kind of exist in Hebrew at all. There's a couple ways that it's, I know it may show up in an English translation, but there really is no Hebrew word that we learn as patience. But this definition is, I think, right on, slow to anger. And similarly, we hear this in Numbers in 14, verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. You see the things that are joined together there. He's patient. He is overwhelming in his covenant love. And he forgives iniquity and transgression. I mean, both voluntary and involuntary sins. He's a God of forgiveness. And you hear it again in Nehemiah, at Nehemiah 9, verse 17. You are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and you did not forsake them, your people, even when they were being quite rebellious against you. Psalm 86, verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And Psalm 103, verse 8, same thing, right? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The same refrain is in Psalm 145, verse 8, just adding that the Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he's made. And because he's merciful, he is patient. He is slow to anger. Now, this expression, slow to anger, it gets picked up in the Proverbs as an attribute of the Lord that is to be practiced by those who are the Lord's as a godly thing. And this is actually where the majority of the New Testament use falls. It's the same kind of things, like this slow to anger that characterizes the Lord should be characterizing the lives of his people too. More on that in a little bit. So can I keep going? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Some Proverbs 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. I mean, this is all hard for me because I don't know about you, Todd, but I have a hasty temper. And I see the wisdom of this. How many times I fly off the handle over something and I'm thinking, wait a minute, isn't it a beautiful thing that God doesn't treat me like that? But how many times it's easy for me to just get all worked up and excited. Boom. You know, I mean, I can go from zero to 100 in an instant. And it's not a good thing at all. It's something that a sin to repent of a setting sin for me. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Slow to anger. Proverbs 16, in verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. I mean, you can have external strength, but he's like saying, what is that compared to the internal strength by which you rule your spirit so that you're slow to anger? That's better than being strong, he says in Proverbs 19, verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is glory to overlook an offense. All of this, I think, suggests that the wise course for man is that we be conformed to the image of God, who proclaims himself to be slow to anger. That is, to be patient, especially with those around us who, like us, are sinful and fragile and damaged human beings. And how many times does this happen? I mean, it's a good thing we don't have my wife on this show because she would. Has your wife ever said this to you, Todd? It's not what you said, it's how you said it.
Yes.
She ever done that one?
31 years and counting, countless times, yes.
Countless times, right? You know, and usually, what is it that has prompted that? It's because something made me mad, and the way that I responded was in anger, a not patient way, instead of the quiet of contemplating, okay, Whedon, why is that getting to you? I just simply react instead of actually then acting. So Proverbs invites us to literally step back from all of that. Step back and think, why is it that that's actually eating at me? And is there a way for me to respond to this that doesn't make things worse, but that actually builds the other person up? Slow to anger, just like the way God treats us, after all.
How is this concept carried through in the prophets?
Yeah. So in the prophets, especially in Joel, you hear one additional piece of information added to why the Lord is slow to anger. So in Joel 2, in the famous reading that's read in the church at the Ash Wednesday liturgy, Joel 2, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. All that we've heard before. But then he adds this, and he relents over disaster. That gives us, I think, an important hint as to the purpose to which God employs his great patience, his slowness to anger. It's so that men might turn and he might relent from the threatened disaster. And we see that is exactly what happened in Jonah. Remember how the prophet gripes, "Ah, that's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you were a God gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." So the word of his crushing law that he proclaimed in the midst of Nineveh had actually produced terror of conscience to the king and to all the people, so that in true contrition, they repented. And because of their repentance, because God was slow to anger with them, he proclaimed impending judgment, but a judgment that was not instant. Then they repented and God relented of the disaster that he had sworn to bring them if they continued in unrepentance. And it was all to the prophet's great displeasure. But, you know, the prophets also learned well from the Torah that God's slowness to anger should never be mistaken for indifference on his part or final tolerance of sin and rebellion. So, yeah, in Nahum 1, verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. This is the same thing that Moses experienced after the golden calf incident. Now, I'm sort of jumping into a passage in the New Testament, if I can, because there's really only one New Testament writer that uses this beloved formula from the Old Testament, slow to anger. That's James. And in the style of Proverbs, he invites us to share this attribute of God in chapter 1, verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Obviously, two ears, one mouth, listen a lot more, talk a lot less. That gives you the opportunity to actually not say something that you will later regret.
We're talking to Pastor Will Wheaton about the word patience in the Bible. We'll look at the intertestamental books, the apocryphal books, and their use of patience next.
Sanctifying your housework with the Word of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're beginning to wrap up our journey through Hebrews. The Lord's discipline, striving for holiness, you have come to Mount Zion, exhortations, and Jesus Christ the same forever. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word patience in our series, The Words of Scripture. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he hosts the daily 15-minute Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's authored the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Here's what Pastor Whedon had to say about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion. How we pray discloses what we believe, and what we believe shapes how we pray. Through this volume, the rich spirituality that shaped our church in years gone by is let loose in our language. Lutheran Prayer Companion is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Prayer Companion. Will, you also wanted to look at these books that were written largely between the Old and the New Testaments, the apocryphal books. What did you find there?
Yeah, this is a very Lutheran thing to do, because if you read the Lutheran dogmaticians or any of their devotional writings, you see that they would always turn to how a word was used, also in the Apocrypha as well. They would not hesitate to do so. So in the book of Sirach, Chapter 2, verse 13, we find, "Woe to you who have lost your endurance and patience," or patience, it's the same word there. "What will you do when the Lord punishes you?" Chapter 5, verse 11, "Be quick in your listening and in patience make a reply." Sounds like almost exactly what James was saying, right? 16, verse 13, "The sinner will not escape with his plunder, and the patience of the godly will never be frustrated." It's just like Psalm 73 in miniature, right? You know, don't think that the wicked are getting away with it. You be patient, and you're going to find out in the end that when you understand the latter end of the wicked, God himself is actually dealing graciously with you. So be patient. Wait for the judgment of the Lord. 17, verse 24, "Yet to those who repented, he granted a return, and he encouraged those whose endurance," or patience, "was failing." Here the Lord is pictured as nurturing along his people's patience and endurance. We know that's how it has to be, because it's fruit of the Spirit. It's something he actually gives from inside of himself for us to share and live from. 29, verse 8, "Nevertheless, be patient with a man in humble circumstances, and do not make him wait for your alms." In other words, reflecting passage in canonical Proverbs, if you have it with you, go ahead and help a person right now. Don't make them wait for it. And be patient with those who are actually in need before you. How many times we're just kind of like very brusque with people who come to us asking for our help? At least I know I am. Chapter 41, verse 2, "O death, How welcome is your sentence to one who is in need and is failing in strength, very old and distracted over everything, to the one who is contrary and has lost his patience. Which, you know, is reflecting on how many times when you're just at the end, you're like, I just need to die. We've heard this from some of our shut-ins sometimes when they're at the end of their rope. They just like, I don't know why I'm still here. I just want this to be over. And they've lost their patience. They've lost their ability to sort of just wait a minute. And we always have to say as pastors, is this in God's hand or not? If it's in God's hand, be patient and await his leisure. It will come when he wills, not when you will. And then most famously, in Wisdom chapter 2 in verse 19, this, that stunning passage that is, well, I mean, I don't know how to describe it except for a prophecy of the passion of Christ. So, the high priest's talking here almost, you can hear that. Let us test him with insult and torture that we may find out how gentle he is and make a trial of his forbearance. That's the same word there, his patience, and find out how well he behaves.
Before we move on to the New Testament, Pastor Whedon, I think we were talking last week and you had made reference, and I believe it was you, correct me if I'm wrong, to John 20 when Jesus comes to Thomas and he says those words, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And we often think he's talking primarily about us, but I think you said he's probably talking more so, including us, of course, but more so about all those Old Testament people who didn't have a chance in this life to see and yet believe. Talk about that with respect to the patience that God granted them by the Holy Spirit, especially as they're described there in the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, I mean, I have to confess, that was not my insight. I did talk about it, but it's something that Dr. Armbrust taught me. But it is, I had never really looked at the tense of the verb. It really is striking that Christ speaks to Thomas about it in the past tense. You would think if he was talking about believers like you and I today, he would have said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet who will believe. But he didn't. Who have not seen and yet have believed. And you know, think about the great roll call of faith that you have in Hebrews 11. You get this long, long listing of all those people who did not see and yet who believed. And what did they do? They waited patiently for the time when God would fulfill the promise. And from start to finish, I mean, from Abel all the way down to, you know, some of the apocryphal books are also referenced there, the Maccabean martyrs, all of them were just waiting for the moment when God would finally fulfill his promise to set things right in this world through the gift of his Son. And they waited and waited and waited, and they never got to see it, but they waited still. We have seen more in the sense that we've seen the fulfillment in Christ, but we know that the final act, if you will, the Lord's return and his appearing in glory, this is still out in our future. And so we wait for the fulfillment of this perfect righteousness. We're waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. We're still waiting and looking forward to it. And so that calls for patience on our part, because we don't know when this is going to be. It's kind of like, you know, in Revelation 6 with the martyrs under the altar. How long, O Lord? How long? And they're told, hey, just abide. Here's your white garment. Be at peace. It'll happen when it happens.
Before we get into the passages of the New Testament that deal with patience, what are the words that the original language employs here?
Well, I think the chief word here is hupmone. Hupmone, which again, most of the time translated patience. Occasionally, what we have here is macrothumia. It's not used that often in the long suffering word. And then there is one other term, anexikakos. It's used rarely, much less. But all three of those terms together flow into the single English word of patience.
Then where would you begin in describing this idea in the New Testament?
Well, I think we need to turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 4, which challenges those Jewish believers who were judging others as lawbreakers, but ignoring their own sins. Paul writes, Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Here's the theme we heard from Joel. The patience of the Lord is how he seeks to give room for repentance in our own lives. Similarly, in Romans 9, verse 22, this passage is one that was hugely disputed by Calvinists and Lutherans in the 16th and 17th century. How do you translate? Well, let me get to it. God is said to have endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared, that's the Calvinistic translation, or the Lutheran translation, who prepared themselves for destruction. See, again, he did not bring his wrath all at once, but we do not believe he prepared anyone simply for destruction. You can't tell in Greek whether a form is a passive or a middle. And if it's a middle, it's to prepare yourself, if you will. If it's the passive, then it was who were prepared, as in by God. But God endured with patience those who end up being vessels of wrath, even though they were preparing themselves for their own destruction. He was waiting for their repentance instead. 1 Corinthians 13, how could we not go there, where Paul is in his great hymn to love. He mentions in verse 4 that love is patient. So divine love, this agape love, God's love, it is patient. It waits for return. And I don't think there's a better picture of this love than painted by Jesus in Luke 15, where the father of the prodigal, remember? The picture is almost like he's sitting out on the front porch and he's always looking down the road, waiting, looking, patient, waiting. And then when he sees his son, he runs off after him. Love is patient. Love is eagerly waiting for that return. But it doesn't stop being love. I think also, if we look at 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul holds himself up as an example. He says that for this reason, in this chief of sinners, that Jesus Christ might display his perfect, Jesus' own perfect patience, as an example to those who believe in him for eternal life. The message being, look, if his patience didn't wear out on Saul with his raging and persecuting the church, don't think he's going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you. He's going to have room and patience. He's going to be slow to anger with you too, in the hopes that you, by the work of his Spirit, will turn to him. 1 Peter 3:20 also speaks of the Lord's great patience, this time in the days of Noah, when instead of just wiping out the earth, which he could have done, he waited while Noah was building the ark, which is a type of the baptism that now saves us. And his patience similarly waits for those of us who will get in the ark in the church via baptism and so be saved from the wrath that is coming. He's patient. He has not yet brought in the last day with its final judgment. And that's where 2 Peter lands us. 2 Peter 3, it returns to that theme we heard from Joel. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise. He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then he'll go on to say a few verses later, count the patience of the Lord as salvation. And especially in that last one, don't you hear the connection with the Old Testament, slow to anger? The Lord's not slow about keeping his promise. He's being patient with you because he doesn't want you to be destroyed.
What does that mean? I'm intrigued. Count the patience of the Lord as salvation.
I think it means you should be, I don't want to say it like that. Can I say it like that? Counting your lucky stars that he hasn't brought in the salvation of the last day yet. Because if it catches anyone in unrepentance, then they're marked for damnation. Against that, he says, be glad, be joyful, and count it as salvation to you that his patience lasts, that he hasn't brought in this last day yet and shut people out.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He is host of the daily 15-minute Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We'll talk a little bit more about the relationship between patience and judgment in God next.
Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
It's our series, The Words of Scripture, with Pastor Will Wheaton. Today, patience. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Will, you said a moment ago that God doesn't bring His judgment all at once. So what's the relationship between patience and judgment, judgment small j, judgment capital J?
Yeah, so the church has this concept of the day of grace. And the day of grace, we know, is not indefinite. The day of grace is, it has an end. And individually, it has an end by a person's life. When the person dies, then their day of grace, their opportunity to receive the grace of God, has come to an end. So you have the writer to the Hebrews saying, is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. It's not like there's a second chance on the other side of death. The scriptures are very clear that that is not the case. But then also the day of grace refers to the church's life in this world, and that will continue until we come to the glorious appearing of Christ. But when He appears, He's not going to appear as the one who's going to suffer and die for sinners. That's who He is, but He is appearing on that day to reward those who are waiting for His coming, waiting patiently, and those who rejected Him will face His wrath, His judgment, and not for a little while, but for all eternity. So the very concept of the day of grace enables us to see that the Lord's patience, His slow to angerness, is joined inextricably with the reality of an end to His patience and the arrival of the day of accounting.
How should Christians then view our life in this world? I want to get to how patience is a virtue that the Holy Spirit cultivates in the Christian in a minute. But how should Christians understand our life in the world as this time of God's patience with the sinful world. That's the remarkable thing about this, that he's not just patient with us, but he's patient with those who despise him, hate him, and fight against him. How should we understand our place in the world given that big framework for thinking about God's patience?
Oh, I wish I could remember the exact story, but there is an account in Dostoevsky, I think, of a man standing on a hill looking out over a beach, and all the people are down below, and he sees the tidal wave coming in. And he cries out, trying to warn them, right? You know, but they're ignoring him. They don't care. They're not paying any attention. And they're not looking toward the sea. They're not seeing what's coming at them to destroy them. And so the Christians in this world, in this time, he set us here to be the people on the hill crying out to the people on the beach. Look out! Look what's coming your way. There is wrath and accountability coming for the sin of the world, for your sin, for mine. It comes. And you need to be sheltering in the only safe place there is, in the wounds of Christ, under his saving blood, under his cross. It's the only place to survive the storm. The storm will wipe out anyone who is not there. But there is room there under the arms of that cross for absolutely everyone. And there's not a single person down there on the beach whom he doesn't want there. So come, shelter before the tidal wave overtakes you. I think if we see ourselves in that kind of a role in the world, the church in that kind of a role, we've actually seen ourselves the way the Bible pictures the church, this joyous colony from the future who knows that that tidal wave cannot destroy us because of where we're sheltering, but we have a mission toward those who are out there on the beach, unexpecting the disaster that's overwhelming them at the moment.
Is there a way to presume upon God's patience or test his patience?
Sure. I mean, we know from the scripture that almost nothing angers him so much as people committing what we would call the sin of presumption, which is when we say, hey, I know that God doesn't want me to do this, but I don't care. He's going to forgive me anyway. And I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to sin to my heart's content. Or as I oftentimes have put it, God loves to forgive and I love to sin. Such a deal. And if we think in those terms, we really do risk the wrath and anger of God over our sin. I mean, he wants to pardon everything by the blood of Christ. But remember how Franzmann put it in the hymn, O ruthless love that will not look on mankind robed in contempt of thee. And that's contempt of God, right? It's saying, you may want that, but I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. When we think like that, when we speak like that to him, we are in the gravest of dangers. We don't want to become those over whom God's patience wears out, where he just simply says, okay, they've chosen that. They want to go without me, so their will be done. I mean, Lewis said once, there's only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says with great reluctance at the end, okay, have it your way, your will be done. And that would be hell itself.
We've talked primarily about patience as a characteristic of God. We did deal with that material in Proverbs, but you said something earlier in our conversation that the patience that the Holy Spirit gives us and cultivates in us is in fact God's own patience. It's something of God that he gives to us. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's not something that God is telling you need to rustle up on your own. God is not looking at you and saying, you produce this patience. It's rather like God's sitting at the table and handing you a big heap and portion of his patience. He's reaching it to you and saying, here, take this in, enjoy, learn to live with this. And it's entirely wholesome to eat it down whole, you know, to take it and receive it and learn to receive from him this absolute stillness at the heart of your being that can wait in confidence for the moment that he will give his release. He will fix whatever it is that is ailing you. Finally, the moment of the resurrection. That's what we're all waiting for.
Is that true of all of those things mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit, that they are in fact the very attributes, characteristics, virtues in God that he bestows upon us?
Sure, that's why he calls them of the Spirit, right? You know, I mean, this is the result of the Holy Spirit moving in. Let the Holy Spirit move into our lives, and which he does through the Word and the Word's dwelling in us. And the Spirit brings with him all of these virtues, these fruits that begin to manifest themselves in our life. Now, you know, we know that they manifest very weakly in us because of our own sin and rebellions, and that we constantly have to live under the forgiving blood of Christ. But at the same time, the Spirit is always at work wanting to say, no, share this, live from this, not from that, not from your own inner resources, but from this, the resource that I give you in my Word.
You wanted to begin in the New Testament with Acts 14:22.
Yeah, which is might seem strange because the word in patience and in you know, endurance aren't actually there, but I think the concept is. So in Acts 14:22, you have the apostles going around strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. In other words, you need patience for the times of trouble because there are going to be lots and lots of them. But when you know that the troubles provide you entrance to the kingdom of God, that changes how you experience them. Entrance how? Well, I think Paul and Barnabas may actually have meant that as we pass through the troubles, the kingdom itself opens wider and wider in us for us to enter through it, to rest there in the peace that is in Jesus until at the end he will appear and set all to rights. Our experience of the kingdom grows as faith runs into difficulties and hardships, and we learn to possess our souls in patience, waiting all the more eagerly for the appearing of Christ. I think that's just really key.
It's our series, The Words of Scripture. Today, the word is patience. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. When we come back, we will continue our walk through the New Testament, going to Romans chapter 12.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're beginning to wrap up our journey through Hebrews. The Lord's discipline, striving for holiness, you have come to Mount Zion, exhortations, and Jesus Christ the same forever. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
The world around us is laser-focused on the fear of death and disease. The April issue of the Lutheran Witness has the answer, Jesus and his resurrection. In this issue of the Lutheran Witness, Dr. Adam Francisco answers objections to the resurrection. The Reverend Sean Denzer discusses resurrection hymnody, and there's so much more. If you're worried about death, then take the opportunity to read about life in Jesus and his resurrection. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scher, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, April the 22nd, our series, The Words of Scripture, continues. Today, the word is patience. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, the next place you wanted to take us there in the New Testament to find some more patience is Romans chapter 12.
Yeah, so in Romans, he started out in chapter 2, remember, and in chapter 9, he was referencing the patience of God. But then come chapter 12, in his, you know, starting of his great list of exhortations, his paranesis there, he says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So troubles, tribulation, it calls forth patience on our part as we wait for the Lord's rescue. You know, the great theologian of the monothelite controversy, in two wills or one will in Christ, St. Maximus the Great, he strongly advocated never, ever defending yourself when others attack your reputation or your good name. He said to possess your soul in patience, and the Lord will clear you sooner or later in his own time. Your job is to endure, to be patient, to await his rescue, and to remember that your enemies can never attribute worse to you than you know yourself already to be guilty of before the Lord. As we say in our confession, I, a poor, miserable sinner. If I believe it, if I know that's true and I own up to it, so why do I get upset when somebody accuses me of being exactly that? You know, doesn't it make sense? Now, back in Romans 8, verse 25, Paul said, if we wait in hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So it is, of course, possible to wait with impatience, but that's only misery. Waiting with patience means knowing what is coming and being eager for it to arrive, and yet knowing that the win of its coming is not going to be hurried along by all of our fretting. It's the spirit the church has confessed since the Nicene Creed was completed. Do you remember how we put this? And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We don't see those yet, but we wait for them. We look for them. We wait for them without fretting. Patience. He's guaranteed their coming. Patience. They'll arrive in his own timing. And, you know, obviously, this is a big theme for Paul. He says it many times. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, another one. And we encourage you, brothers, admonish the idle. Remember, there were people who thought, oh, cool, Christ is coming again, so I don't need to work anymore. He's like, no. That's not how it goes. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. And he does the exact same thing in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And there he says, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. So notice here that patience is focused on the way we treat each other, bearing with one another, instead of griping about each other, forgiving. That is, don't rush into judgment on anyone. Be patient, especially in the church, especially in our life together. I have to tell you, one of my all-time favorite sayings in the Lutheran Confessions is in the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, in the fifth section on number 122. Listen to these words. Harmony in the church cannot last unless pastors and churches mutually overlook and pardon many things. That is, we need to be patient in our dealings with each other in the body of Christ. And Paul's solution to someone getting you riled up is not to go complain about them to somebody else, but instead, oh, they got me riled up. Great, I get to forgive them. Beautiful.
You had mentioned James before, but let's go back to James chapter 5. What do we find there?
Yeah, in James 5, he does throw in a little bit more. James 5, verses 7 and 8. He says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So again, patience and the eye on the appearing of Christ. And until that moment, we're all living together under the forgiveness of our sins, under the saving blood. So be patient, especially with each other, but be patient also with the Lord's slowness in coming, as Peter would call it.
In Revelation, what do we find there by way of patience?
Oh, that's just one of my favorite sections, and I'm kind of glad we get to wrap up with Revelation. Note the role that patience plays in the book of Revelation. I already mentioned the martyrs under the altar. Though the word's not used there, you get the same idea. John's self-descriptor, though, in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. So think about what he's saying there. He's like identifying himself, and he identifies himself as our brother, but also the one who shares with us in troubles and in the kingdom of Jesus, but also in the patient endurance that are in Jesus. This is, you know, the Spirit bringing us the patience that's inside of Christ. Paul talked about the perfect patience that was in Christ that led him to take this persecutor of the church and bring him to great use as the apostle of the Gentiles. And it, with the connection between tribulation and kingdom, and then patience thrown in there, you also remember what we looked at in the Acts passage about how you literally enter the kingdom through the tribulation, or the kingdom enters you through the tribulation. Revelation 2, verse 19. Jesus' words to the church in Thyatira. I know your works, I know your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. So he recognizes in this church that in the midst of hard times, they've continued patiently to wait for him, and he praises that. Similarly, when he's dealing with the church in Philadelphia in chapter 3, because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. So I've pondered that. What is the word of Jesus that he gave them about patient endurance? It's kind of covered over in a lot of modern translations, but if you've got your King James and you look at Luke 21:19, you hear Jesus actually use these words, in patience possess ye your souls. I think in the ESV they rendered that, your endurance will save your life, or something like that. But the idea that Jesus actually commands us to be patient in our souls as we wait for the fulfillment of his every promise, as we endure hardship, as we endure tribulation, is very much at the heart of the entire New Testament picture of what the church is. So, you know, maybe a closing, you remember the old joke, Oh Lord, make me patient, being a very dangerous prayer to pray, because he really has only one way of making us be patient, and that's when he starts sending us more and more tribulations so that we learn to wait on the Lord. And that waiting on the Lord, that's the heart of patience, I think that's what really ties us to the beautiful Psalm 27. Listen to these words. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I mean, that's where it ends up. That's the promise, right? That Jesus is going to, at his return, this is what's going to happen. I will look upon the Lord. This is Job 19, right? My eyes, even though my skin is destroyed, my eyes will see my Redeemer, and he lives. So I believe I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's even a hymn out of the old, I can't remember who wrote it, one of the Eastern fathers, that calls Jesus himself, he is the land of the living. That's who he is. So wait for the Lord. Wait for this beautiful moment of his appearing. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And similarly, of course, you remember at the end of that beautiful chapter 40 of Isaiah, you have the exhortation, you know, those who wait for the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. That is, those who wait for the Lord in patience, they will soar over the hardships and difficulties of life, because they know where the final rescue comes from, and they are waiting together for it.
We're talking about the word patience in our series, The Words of Scripture, with Pastor Will Wheaton. When we come back, we'll talk about eager expectation in Romans chapter 8 and patience. If you appreciate the biblical insights of Pastor Wheaton, be sure to listen and subscribe to his podcast, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. It's a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study. Pastor Wheaton is currently studying the book of Hebrews and begins a study of Romans on April 28th. Learn more at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
I've written a column for the Latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word patience, our series, The Words of Scripture. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Will, if you would, I want to take you back to Romans 8, where Paul introduces this notion of eager expectation. How does that work together with this notion of patience we've been talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Phillips famously translated, that's in Romans 8, he translated it as, creation itself standing on tiptoe for the revealing of the sons of God. So patience does not mean that you're not eagerly looking forward to something. It means you're not making yourself miserable because the thing you're looking forward to hasn't arrived yet. In fact, the looking forward to is in itself a form of enjoyment of the gift before it actually arrives. I always remember how my kids were back when their grandparents lived out, Cindy's parents, mine were long since dead, but Cindy's parents lived out in Maryland, and they would come for to spend Christmas with us or just for a visit, whatever. How excited the kids would be. Is today the day grandma's coming? Is it this day? Is Opa going to be with us today? And it's like, nope, not yet. But they were just eagerly looking forward and waiting for it. But because as kids, they didn't have a great sense of time, they weren't fretting about it. They were just looking forward to it. They didn't say, oh no, there's another 24 hours before this happens. It didn't enter in. And I think there's a childlike expectation of joy that runs through the New Testament idea of patiently waiting for the Lord and for the bringing of what he gives. So it is a standing on tiptoe, but it's a standing on tiptoe at peace that it's going to happen when the Lord's timing is his timing and perfect.
You kind of rekindled the memory in mind. My maternal grandparents would travel the country all through the winter visiting all of their children. They would spend the summers in Yellowstone working at the park, and then they would spend their winters in the Florida Keys. And in between, they would travel back and forth. And so we got to see them. They'd come in a mobile home, park it in the driveway, and stay for sometimes weeks. Their visits were the kind of thing that my brothers and I just looked forward to. And I remember being told by my mom, it may not have been the day they were due to arrive. She was probably just trying to get rid of us. Grandma and grandpa are coming. Go out and sit on the curb and look up the block. There's only one way into the subdivision. And come back in and tell me when you see them coming. And I don't know how many hours we sat out there. This was before you could just call and say, we're going to be there at 3 o'clock or something.
Right.
So she may not have known when they were coming. But I distinctly remember sitting there side by side with my twin brother, just staring at the top of the street, waiting to see that big camper make the turn onto our block. And in a way, it was anxious. And in a way, it was kind of fun. Is that the way the church is now, waiting for Christ to finally fulfill the last of his great promises to us?
I think that's exactly the way that the New Testament pictures the church being. And when we taste that for ourselves and we realize, oh man, when will this moment dawn? There is both this eagerness, the martyrs under the altar again. How long, oh Lord, how long? And yet there's also this sense of patience. It's like, it's going to come. You know it's going to come. When is that camper rounding that corner? It's going to be there. And you just keep watching and waiting. That's how the church waited for the glorious return of Christ. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Beautiful thing.
The way that Jesus describes his appearing at the end of time is both the church should know he's coming and should be expecting him and not be caught or surprised. But at the same time, everyone will be surprised. How do we resolve those two things?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of at the heart of what you were just describing with your brother, right? I mean, you know that that camper's coming around the corner, but when exact that moment is, you don't know. You don't know exactly the moment that it's going to take place. So I like to think of it that way. No man knows that day or hour, but we certainly do know the fact of its arrival, and we should not be caught not expecting it to come. The parables that Jesus gave on this are really clear. I mean, if you start to say, well, gee, the master hasn't come, and you start beating your fellow servants and getting plastered and ignoring the work that he gave you to do, thinking, well, he's not going to show you. So he will come. That will not be a pleasant encounter. So the church, hearing that word from the Lord, she waits in patience, but she also waits with expectant joy. Oh, I've always thought that would be the coolest Advent banner up. You know, the scene of Mary being very greatly with child, and right underneath sweeping up the word expectation. I mean, just like we, you know, the expectation at Christmas time for the kids, the expectation at the return of Christ for all people. We eagerly await it. And yet it's not something that's a cause of frustration. It's something that is a cause of, the very expectation is itself a source of joy. And I think that's really the key with Christian patience, hung deep inside of God Himself. The patience that is in Him is overflowing with joy itself. Each of these words that we're using, love, joy, peace, patience. Well, I remember hearing our beloved Dr. Nagel say more than once that you know you're getting them right when all the big terms are synonyms. They're different facets of the same thing, which is the very love of God that's ours in Christ. That's exactly what, and how could that ever not be a joy to us? And we wait for it to be seen, to be visible, to be shown on the last day. That's what we're waiting for.
That's exactly what I was thinking, that after having a number of these conversations with you on all these various words in the Bible, at least these ones that we're dealing with first as the fruit of the Spirit, they are all the facets of the gift of faith, aren't they?
Yep. Yep. they flow from one into the other, one after the other.
Why do we find patience so hard to come by?
I think because we try to scrounge it up inside of ourselves. And as always, when we try that method, we're going to find out that we are very limited in what we can actually achieve. But when we stop and remember patience is not something we achieve, it is something we receive, that it's something He gives more than something we accomplish. Once we see that is participation with Him, I think it totally changes the dynamic of how you view it. I think it's only frustrating as long as you're trying to scrounge up your patience rather than you living from the patience that is in Him who is slow to anger and kind to everything that He has made.
Finally then, Will, does this idea of patience, as we find it in Scripture, give us another way, a filter perhaps, to look at the very life and ministry of Christ in this world, that during His time among His disciples, I cannot even begin to imagine, the amount of patience He must have exercised with them. I think it's why He often calls them little children, because He has this, even though He is their master, He has this fatherly patience with those men who He knows will eventually come to believe and confess and witness, but it took a long time. Talk about that with a minute or so.
The one who is always with them, and yet how many times while He was with them, they kept on getting it all wrong, all backwards. I mean, they just kept on, you know, swing and a miss. And yet He had patience. He kept on teaching and loving them. And He trusted that the Spirit whom He would send after He had ascended to His Father, that Spirit would Himself impart to them all the wisdom they would need, all the truth they would need. He would bring to their minds the words that right now were going in, but just not registering, and they would be able to spread them out into the world. And think about His life as a whole, the great patience of our Lord, that He spent 30 years being obedient to His parents and taking care of things at home before He ever set out to save the world by suffering and dying for us. I mean, there was great patience in how he approached his entire life. He waited for the time of God and was at peace with that. As he would say, the hour has not yet come, or the hour has come. And when it has come, then he offers himself.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he hosts the daily 15-minute Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain about law and gospel in the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord. It begins with his patience. Think about this, a God who has existed from all eternity and exercises that kind of eternal patience with us in his Son, Jesus Christ, calls us into that patience with one another as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.